Blog Talk Radio.
Beautiful, beautiful rendition of this song entitled I Will Never Forsake You by Caleb and Katie Garraway. I will never forsake you, saith the Lord. Welcome to a late Sunday night edition of Manna from Heaven. Hope you're doing well. As for me, I am so excited. So excited because I came home from tonight's evening service. We had a great time talking about the prefiguration of Antichrist. We've been on that theme now for 14 Sunday evenings. And we announced that we were going to be having a special Sunday service again back up at Christian Lake. And I said, if there's anyone who would like to be baptized, please let me know. And Sister Liz Beakey said to me after the service, Pastor, I want to get baptized. Then I'm in my study just going over the events of the day and just thinking about what a wonderful Lord's Day we had. And my son Daniel walks in and tells me, Dad, I want to get baptized. I said, what? He says, Dad, I hear you're going to be doing baptisms and I want to get baptized. So, I got to tell you, this is a banner day, another banner day in the Lord. Well, saints, let's open up our Bibles to Psalm chapter 9, a Psalm of David. And this is what the Lord says in Psalm 9:10. It says, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. Today we want to look at that portion of verse 10 that says, the Lord, for thou, O Lord, has not forsaken them that seek thee. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. What a blessing today. We had a blessed service in the morning, a wonderful board meeting, a wonderful evening service, and then the good news that two have stepped forward and said, I want to be baptized. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Great is thy faithfulness, O God our Father. I'm so overwhelmed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for working in the hearts of men, bringing them to you, Lord. I pray for Sister Liz Beakey. I pray for my son Daniel. Continue to do a work in them. And we pray for the others that will also be baptized who have yet to come forward. We pray that on September the 10th, my mother's birthday, on September the 10th, on that wonderful Sunday, we would have another amazing baptismal service. Bless us, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. We're in this study. Today is our last day. And the study is entitled, No One Need Apply. The Lord our God is on the job. When I was a young man, starting out in life, and we needed money, my grandmother would say to me, where are you going today? She would ask me in Spanish, where are you going today? I said, Mom, I'm going out to look for work. And of course, I would walk up and down the neighborhood to all the shops. And wherever there was a help wanted sign, I would walk in and say, I understand you need help. You're looking for someone to work. And they would say, well, we do, and these are the hours, and this is what the job entails, and are you interested? And, you know, we would talk, and if it was for me, I would take the job. If it wasn't for me, you'd decline. But back in the day when I was a young man, all the shops, all you had to do, you didn't even have to look at the help wanted signs in the newspaper. I'm from Brooklyn. So if you looked at the help wanted signs in the newspaper, that means you were looking for a job in Manhattan. You had to take the subway to get to Manhattan. You had to take the train. You had to take about an hour commute to get to Manhattan. And for those kinds of jobs, you looked at the Sunday newspaper for the help wanted ads. But if you wanted something close to home, all you had to do was get dressed, get up early in the morning, wait for the stores to open, and look for stores that had on their windows help wanted signs. Those were the good old days. The good old days. A job right in the neighborhood. Didn't pay much. And, of course, the jobs were not career starting or, you know, they weren't career jobs, but we needed money. And I was an able body, and I was willing to work and bring home some of the bacon that the family needed, and my grandmother was appreciative for that. Well, when it comes to the Lord, none of us, no Christian, should have a help wanted sign. No church should have a help wanted sign. Why? Well, because our help is in the Lord. And if he's on the job, no one need apply, and we need not put a sign out. Now, here in Psalm number 9, verse 10, David says this. He says this. They that know thy name will put their trust in thee. Do you know God? Have you put all your trust in him? I hope and pray that you have. Because if you have, you'll grow stronger and stronger and stronger like David. And if you haven't, I feel bad for you because you're going to grow weaker and weaker and weaker like Saul. David goes on to say, for thou, Lord, has not forsaken them that seek thee. You see, if the Lord is on your side, you can never go backwards. Never. And if you look and if you remember, David grew stronger and stronger. It wasn't overnight success. It took some time. It took some days. It took some weeks. It took some months. It took some years for David to grow stronger and stronger and stronger. It was a slow process. But he was growing stronger and stronger. The same thing with Saul. Saul didn't come to his demise the next day. No, Saul was on a slide for a long time. He was growing weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker, and that was an accumulation of days and weeks and months and years of going backwards. But for those of us who put our trust in the Lord, we shall never experience being forsaken. Now that word forsaken, they that trust in thee, those who seek thee, shall not be forsaken. That word forsaken means to be abandoned. God will not abandon us. He will not desert us. God will not leave you and me and us high and dry. God will not jilt us. He will not leave us stranded. He will not leave us in the lurch. We will not be abandoned by him, disowned by him, discarded by him. We won't. He won't do that. And I want to show you that he doesn't do that to individual children. He doesn't do that to a church, which is a collection of his children. And he doesn't do that to his under-shepherds, who are responsible for his children. I want you to know that God will not leave you, dear saint. He won't. Genesis 28, verse 15. Look what the Lord says to Jacob. And behold, I am with thee. God says that to you. God says that to me. He says that to those individuals whom he loves in Christ. And behold, the Lord says to Jacob in Genesis 28:15, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in the places where you go. And I will bring thee again into this land, For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken of thee. I will not leave thee means I will not forsake thee. Life is a pilgrimage. The Christian life is a journey. And many times you travel alone. Like Jacob was traveling alone. And God says, I'll be your companion. I'll be with you through the difficult times. I'll be with you when you're confused. I'll be there to support you when you're hurting. I'll be there to wipe your tears when you're crying. I will be with you. I will never forsake you. You will never be one moment alone. Now in Hebrews, turn to the book of Hebrews, because those who read Genesis and those who treasure the book of Genesis will also treasure the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, let your thou, or your conversation, that's an old English word for your living. Let your living be without what? Greed. Don't live a lifestyle which indulges and gives itself over to covetousness. Don't be greedy. And be content with such things as you have. For he, referring to God, has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You see what God says? He says, now listen, don't get greedy. Don't want everything. Don't desire everything. That's another good thing. Be content with what God has given you. And remember, he says, he will never leave you nor forsake you. People get into trouble because they get greedy. People get into trouble because they try to keep up with the Joneses. People get into trouble because they covet or they want what other people have. Well, you're not supposed to have everything that other people have. You may have something. You may have a roof over your head. Be content with that. You have clothes on your back. Be content with that. You have shoes on your feet. Be content with that. You don't have three cars. You have two. Be content with that. You have 1 week vacation and not 2 months vacation. Be content with that. And remember, everything you have, God has given it to you. No more, no less, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. So these are promises that God makes to individual Christians. But then he makes promises to churches, to a congregation, to a group of people, such in Deuteronomy. Let's go to Deuteronomy 31. And in Deuteronomy 31, verse 6 and 8, this is what it says. God speaking to Moses, be strong and of good courage and fear not and be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is with thee wherever you go. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And Moses called Joshua and said unto him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord God hath sworn unto their fathers to give it to them. And thou shalt cause them to enter into their inheritance. Remember, verse 8, it is the Lord God, it is he that goes before thee. He will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither will he forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. In other words, Joshua, you are leading the people to their blessing. If God forsakes you, he's forsaking the congregation. Thus, he will not forsake you because his intentions are to bless the entire congregation. So God does not forsake his church. He won't. Why? Because he intends to bless his church. In Psalm 37, verse 25, let's go to Psalm 37, verse 25. This is what David says about people in the church. David writes, I have been young and now I am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, David says, listen, I can't find one person in the church. I can't find one. And I've been around a long time. Since I had my own wits about me, since I was a young man, since I came unto my own and I was able to deduce and see things and understand things as a young man, and even now as an old man, I have never seen any of God's people forsaken, nor their children begging bread. God makes these promises not only to individuals, but he makes these promises to the whole collective. He makes this promise to the entire church as a body, as a group of people, as a group of families that make up one local church. I have never seen anyone in my church, David says, anyone who has loved God and God forsake them. That's what he says about the church. And now here's the promise to pastors who lead these churches. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, Moses says to Joshua, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. No one, Joshua, no man that comes against you, no wolf, no beast. No beast. You know, I was teaching tonight that when Paul went to Ephesus, he had to fight with beast. Well, it's not referring to animals. He's not referring to lions and tigers and bears. That's not the beast Paul is referring to. He means by beast, he means by anti-Christian men. The beast, the Antichrist is called the beast, and his associates and his lieutenants are also called beasts, and they're quite powerful, and they're quite evil. Well, the Lord says to Joshua, he doesn't use the word beast, but he says, No man, Joshua, will be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. There's that word again, forsake. And then in 1 Chronicles 28:20, David says this to Solomon as he passes the reins to his son. David was retiring. Solomon was coming in to take his place. And David said to Solomon in 1 Chronicles 28:20, David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, the God of Psalm 9:10, and the Lord my God will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work of the service of the house of the Lord. My brothers and sisters, we serve the Lord and we're on assignment. If God forsakes us, he's forsaking his work. If God abandons us, he's abandoning his work. And God will not abandon his work. And he will certainly not abandon his children. So if that's the case, then my question to you is, why do you have a help wanted sign? Why are you crying out for some help when the Lord ought to be your help? If the Lord is your help, if he's on the job, no one need apply. No one. When I'm in trouble, dear saints, listen to me. When I'm in trouble and your pastor gets into a lot of trouble, you'll never hear me bellyache and cry and have a tantrum and roll on the floor and cry like a baby and act like a child. No. When I'm in trouble, I need not worry. Why? Because my God's on the job. My boss is on the job. My best friend who is a Miami, used to be a Miami police officer, we were out one day, he and I, we were having lunch And he says, Michael, I'm concerned for you. And I said to him, why would you be concerned? He says, well, you know, you pastor these churches that don't pay you anything. At the time, I was pastoring three small churches. And that was right after Hurricane Andrew blew through all of South Florida, blew in, destroyed all of South Florida. Most of the pastors picked up and left, and they whatever church members were straggling around in these three churches, I was pastoring them. I didn't leave South Florida when Andrew blew in. He says, I'm worried, man. I see all the work you do, and there's no money here, and you have no pension. You have no 401k. And I said to him, who gave you your 401k? He says, well, you know, I work for the Miami Police Department. It's part of the package. They match your investment. And I said to him, and where do you get your medical? Well, you know, the Miami Police Department and blah, blah, you know. So we went down the line. I said to him, and you mean to tell me that the Miami Police Department can pay better than the Lord? You mean to tell me that the Miami Police Department can outdo my God in taking care of his employee? You mean to tell me that the Miami Police Department and the state of Florida are going to ensure that you get a better retirement plan than me when my God owns all the silver and the gold? He said, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry I brought it up. I said, no. I'm glad you brought it up, because you don't need to feel sorry for me. I appreciate it. You're my best friend. I know you have my back. I know you're concerned. I know you know I don't have two nickels to rub together, but I'm the richest man. I'm the richest man in South Florida. I pastor three churches. I get to minister to people, and I would do it for nothing. But I'm not doing it for nothing. I'm not. Jesus says, whatever you've given up in this world, he'll give it to you 100-fold in the next. And the next is my retirement plan. My retirement plan is not here on earth. My retirement plan is when I go to glory. So you see, my brothers and sisters, we need to put things in proper perspective. I don't need to worry about any. I don't lose sleep over anything. I don't lose any sleep. When I put my head on the pillow, I fall soundly asleep. I do. At least, if I'm losing sleep, it's over people in church that are hurting. I don't lose sleep over my issues. I may lose sleep over other people's issues, but I do not lose sleep over my issues, because God is on the job for me. God is my financial advisor, my financial investor. God, listen, I could tell you stories that would just blow your mind as to how God has taken care of me all these years. It's amazing. So I don't need to fret. I don't need to worry. I don't need to cry. I don't need to figure anything out. What I do is I get up in the morning and I go to work every day and I serve the Lord and I let my boss handle. Well, do you get paid for overtime? Hey, let him handle overtime. Well, don't you take vacation? Let him handle vacation. You see, my brothers and sisters, it's a matter of biblical perspective. Hey, if you want to take vacation, God bless you. You've earned it. It's yours. Go have your fun. You're entitled to it. I'm just a different person. And I love vacation. I like going on vacation. But I'm so, listen, while I'm doing the work of God, I feel like I'm on vacation. I kid you not. I'm preparing for this study and that study, and I'm driving to this home and that home, and I feel I'm on cloud nine. I'm in glory. I have to pinch myself every morning and say, is this really happening to me? This is so wonderful. So, again, if God is on the job, no need for you to put a help wanted sign. No need for you to be panicking. No need for you to be afraid. No need for you to grow weaker and weaker and weaker. Put your trust in the Lord. They that know his name will put their trust in him. And to add to that, for thou, O Lord, will not forsake them that seek thee. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord watch over you. And remember, 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 he loves you so much, it is impossible, impossible for him to forsake you. God bless.
Set your life apart, and I will.